Well, tonight we're start another series. We're on this one before I had taught this. I don't know how long ago. It was a number of years back. We talked about angels, and we're going to go into the ministry of angels. It's one of the things is dealing with really sort of the subject we're looking at. I want to look at some things of how God does things. We have most people have the idea that God just says something and it just happens. We have this idea. But, you know, God's kingdom works very much like the earth operates. If we would look, let's say, one of the things in the book of Hebrews, it talks about and says there, speaking of the tabernacle and how the tabernacle was built and what it was like, and the ministry of the tabernacle, it says that it's a shadow of the things that are in heaven. In other words, there's something in heaven that is like the tabernacle here. So the temple in heaven was like what was here on the earth. There were similarities to it, that stuff. And it's like if you look at heaven itself, and like a book of Revelation talks about the city, it uses subject matter just like we would talk about something built here in the earth, except it's built of a little bit better stuff. But we need to understand it's how the kingdom of heaven works. And the idea of angels, there's many things. When God does things, just like here in the earth, we have people, whether somebody's in charge of something or not, they have other people under them that do things. Well, God operates in the same manner. And angels, we're going to find, because scripturally, angels work in the same manner with God. You know, there's things, and God chooses how he's going to reveal things or do things. And the book of Hebrews in the first chapter, there's a scriptures there, two verses that I want to read to us in opening to this, because of the statement that's made here specifically about angels, because we do see in the Old Testament, we see angels were used all the time. I mean, you saw angels and manifestations of angels and stuff in their operation. Also, at times you hear in the Old Testament, people talked about angels doing things. They didn't necessarily, at the time, talk about seeing the angel or something, but they understood that angels did things. And we've lost that today in Christianity quite a bit. Now, it says in Hebrews, the first chapter, in verse 13, I'm going to start there. It says, "But to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool?'" And in verse 14, he said, "Are they not all ministering spirits?" Are they, what he's talking about, the angels. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will be heirs of salvation?" Now, notice that it says this, that these are ministering spirits, and they're to minister for. Doesn't say minister to. Do you notice that? Most people talk it's there to minister to you. No, they're not. They're minister for you. There's a huge, enormous amount of difference being the wording. If you look it up in the Greek, and it's correct. This to minister for you. In other words, they are to do things for you. This is one of the things dealing with the areas of authority. We'll talk about these things. And Hebrews, the verse 14 in the Bible in basic English says, "Are they not all helping spirits who are sent out as servants to those whose heritage will be salvation?" And the Amplified Bible says in that scripture, "Are not the angels all ministering spirits, servants, sent out to the service of God for the assistance of those who are to inherit salvation?" So we need to get an idea about this, because if they are to minister for us, that means we do have authority concerning angels. We have authority. Most time you don't hear in teaching and that. So one of the things is Kenneth Hagin is we're probably going to teach later on some in this, because Jesus appeared to him and talked to him about prosperity and about money, and talk to him about what to do to bring money in when you need money for something. And he told him what to do. And one of the things that he said is to send your ministering spirits out to bring it in. In other words, you have authority to do that. Most people don't think about that at all, because really you'll see very little teaching ever done from the side of they work for us. They do things from the standpoint of God. God uses them for our benefit. He uses them for our benefit. And on Sunday night when Todd talked about the woman seeing the angel on the hood of the car, you know, and down there. Most people don't realize that we are around us. If you ever think about it, I mean, one of the visions that Kenneth Hagin had where Jesus appeared to him and there was this angel standing beside Jesus. And Kenneth Hagin said, this guy was about 10 feet tall. He said, he's huge, this big angel. And Kenneth Hagin asked who he was. And Jesus looked at him and said, that's your angel. Well, he said, what do you mean it's my angel? He said, that guy's been with you ever since you've been born. Said, he's been with you. Said, he's with you all the... He said, everybody has an angel. I want you to think about that. Everybody has an angel. Now, most people's angels don't ever do a thing. They don't ever do much of anything because people walk not conscious of them being around. People don't follow in line with scriptures because angels, we're going to find out, they operate in line with the word. And so when people are just doing their own things and doing that stuff, they are doing their own thing. You know, your angel can turn around and watch you die and just not do a thing. I remember one time over here in the South Mountain, there was a guy said about it. He said he was praying and God opened his eyes and he saw in the South Mountain in Lebanon there was all these angels. He said it was just filled with angels. And he asked the Lord, he said, what is that and what's it about? He said, they're angels. They're here on the earth to help you. They're here. Well, he said, well, what are they doing there? He said, nothing. He said, the church isn't doing nothing, so they have nothing to do. See, if people don't realize, because we have in Scripture where angels brought healing. Angels were used in that manner. We have all kinds of things where angels were used by God to do things. And that's one thing is their operation of the kingdom when God did many things. Now, you will see this. This is what the Lord spoke to me about because I often wondered about this. We see specifically in the Old Covenant, angels... We there's a lot written. In fact, in the Old Covenant, there's more written specific about angels and what angels do than in the New Covenant. And I often wondered why. Now, that doesn't mean the angels aren't any different what they do, but why we saw so much of it more. And I never realized the fact, but the Lord said to me, he said, you're born again. You have the Holy Spirit in you. They didn't. They didn't. And so much of what came to them lots of times was by angels that God did much by angels because they didn't have the Spirit. We're so much further ahead than the people in the Old Testament, at least we should be. It always amazes me to how Christians sit back and look at the Old Testament and they marvel at what went on back there. And I think, you know, their Christianity today will never see nothing happen as long as we think they had it best. We think it's somehow there, oh wow, that was just so much cooler, that was just so much better. It's because of our unbelief is why, you know, and angels are moved by whether you're believing or not believing, you know. We don't walk. It's one of the things that I learned a long time ago when I first got born again. I had been involved in sorcery and things. As one of the things involved in those things is you weren't involved in that if you didn't believe in the spirit realm. So you believed in the spirit realm, and I believed the spirit realm was true. And so we would do things, I learned how to get spirits and stuff to manifest. I learned how to do that. And you know how you do it? By faith. I don't care whose kingdom you're in. It's the same thing. Spirit realm operates the same way. Whatever you put your faith in is where you get your manifestations. If you don't like your life, it's been about you and your believing. That's what's messed you up. It's what you're believing. It's the way of the kingdom. You can get the devil. People get the devil working for them all the time. Don't realize how they do it. They get over on the negative side of things and get over and talking junk and, oh man, this always happens to me. Well, it's coming back. Don't worry. Their spirits are going to bring it to you. They're going to make sure you're going to have that. Because you're asking for it. You're calling for it. So don't be surprised it shows up at your door. And don't say somebody else sent it. Donald Trump didn't do it. You know? People did it themselves. They sent it right to their door. And you need to understand it. It's just like, oh, I found out. It's how faith worked. And when I come over to the you know, Christian side, and I watch Christians, we're very much like the people over that I was involved with over here on the side of sorcery, and all this stuff is going on, and all these things people are doing. Well, what it is I started to see, because we would have people who never would hardly get a manifestation over dealing with that stuff. Well, I come over to Christianity, it's the same way. You have Christians that hardly ever get a manifestation of anything. Some live their whole life and never get a manifestation of anything because they don't learn how to operate by faith. You have to operate. You got to believe in whatever it is that the scripture says, and you have to act like it's true. You see, I've already, from the time I was a little kid, I always believed in the spirit realm. I believed there was a realm that operated outside of what I could see. I was always interested. I was always interested in the supernatural. Do you notice one thing? I mean, the church, like, you know, today people get, you know, I've watched Christians get all upset because, you know, when the Harry Potter books come out and all that stuff. All these people were interested in it because the church offers nothing supernatural. They don't offer anything. And people are looking for it. It is within the nature of the human to look for it. That is our spiritual nature. And the church has moved. Anything comes along supernatural, and the church just runs away from. Oh, that's weird. That's the devil. Everything's the devil. Yeah, you know. You speak in tongues, that's the devil. You do this, it's the devil. Everything's the devil. It's because they don't believe in the supernatural. Everything must make reason to the mind, the sight, the feelings. That is the world that they live in. And that's the deceptive world. That's the world you can be deceived in. And so deceived people live in that realm. They stay in that. That's where they operate, is in that realm. Because they think it's the real. This realm that we live in came from the spirit realm. It was created from the spirit realm. The spirit realm is eternal. This realm is temporal. And people fight for the temporal. They love the temporal. They're just desperate for the temporal. And don't realize, the temporal without the supernatural is a lousy place to live. It's a lousy place to live. It is, and get it in your mind. It's a lousy. You must be able to tie in the supernatural. You know, the Bible talks about days of heaven in the earth. You know, you want things of that realm and God's kingdom to be able to manifest in this realm. You need it. You need days of heaven in this earth, or this is what you're going to have: lots of days of hell in the earth. America's having lots of days of hell on the earth is because this is what we went for. We went for days of hell on the earth. America's a nation has done nothing but headed for it. We've neglected God. We've refused Him. We don't want to have anything to do with Him. You know, we want to live our own lives. Boy, that's turned out great, hasn't it? Everybody, hey, I want freedom of choice. I'm going to tell you what, I had that for 30 years and I gave that up. Freedom from Ed's choices. Man, my choices were killing me. My choices were messing everything up. And the end result of it was that the Holy Spirit told me that I was going to end up in hell and take my family there too. It's like, boy, I was making good choices. I was doing a great job. You know, vote for me for president. I'll tell you. Oh, but it is. And that's why he's dealing with these things. We need to become conscious of what God does, conscious of what's around us, not by sight, by faith. You're not going to see manifestations of what you don't have faith of. You know, it's interesting. Now, we find this, you know, it's very interesting. God will do things at times. This is one of the things is like sometimes in ministry. Like, say you take a guy who's, say, like a healing evangelist or something like that. He'll go to a place. Now, he'll go to a church and hardly have anything take place. But he'll go out to the world, hold a crusade, and God will manifest for the unbelievers. He'll manifest things and do demonstrations of the Spirit so people can see the spirit realm is real. But, you know, he won't keep doing that, because he expects people, once they've seen that it's so, he expects them to start to believe that, to start acting in faith on it, acting like it's real. It's there whether you can see it or not. No one will continually see things without operating in faith. You won't. This is one of the things that a lot of the church world today is looking at. You know, they say they want to move a God, but what they want is God to move and show them that He's God again. They aren't acting or walking around like this stuff is real. They want God to prove Himself to them again, because they ain't sure no more. They don't believe the Word anymore. They don't believe what it says. You know, if you think about it, we're in a world like, what's the population now? What is it, 7 billion or something like that? 7 billion, somewhere around there. Well, we know this, that there's definitely a lot more than 7 billion angels. Because if every person has an angel. Can you think in this earth? Now think about this earth. In this earth, wouldn't surprise me that, you know, we have 50 billion angels hanging out in this earth. And we don't see them with the eye, yet they're here. That they're here in this place. Now, if each person has an angel and there are angels around them, you know, this is one of the things is we got to come to the things where the reality to us that these things are here. Over the years, I've read a lot of different books and things about people talk about, you know, they're seeking God, they're this. One of the things I've never liked about most of the books is because they're always under the, they sort of leave you the idea that God's not around, you're trying to find him. Which is completely wrong. Now, God can be around you and you not know it at all. God can be around you. Most people are. God's around you. I mean, think about it. There's things that we've done that we know are wrong, and we've done them anyway as if God couldn't see it. As if that angel ain't even around us. He didn't even know it went on. Now, think about it. To living in the consciousness, this is what I found out, that people who really have a real spiritual consciousness, that have a conscious, curious consciousness, they live better lives than people who don't. If you don't get a spiritual consciousness that God is everywhere, that his angels are everywhere, that he's present all the time, you don't live that. If that is not something, that's not something you read in a book. You know, you can say, well, I believe it, the Bible says it. That means nothing. You have to have a consciousness yourself. That's something that's real to you. See, the more God becomes real to you, the more you're going to believe of who he says he is. Or he's not going to, if he's, you know, is he just a spirit? You know, they put him out here, you know, we're going to go to this, I was watching a thing on TV about this group, and you know, when we die, we go to this big collective mind. You know, God's a big collective mind out there. Well, if these people that were going to this great collective mind, this mind is retarded because they were idiots. Part of this group was one of those groups that was going to go the Hale-Bopp comet, so they all committed suicide to end up there. Real geniuses. So that mind I don't want to go to. So, you know, if I'm going to die and go there, then let me live forever, God, because I don't want to go to your mind. It's crazy. But see, God got to become to us a reality that he is real. Now we're dealing with this. These angels here, it tells us that these spirits, they're here to minister for us. So one of the things that we need to understand is, what do they do? What do these spirits do? What are they? Most people, they talk about spirits, and they'll talk about angels, and a majority of people, well, you know, the idea that, you know, if you're talking about an angel, that you're, you know, talking about a winged being and that stuff. Most angels do not have wings. Most of the time, majority of the time. Where we got this stuff is from the Renaissance. And all these heathens that the heathen Catholic Church was at that time, and they painted all this stuff. It amazes me how much of the painting stuff from the Renaissance is in all the church world today. A lot of the stuff in the paintings and stuff are not scriptural. They're not, you know, but we buy it and we, you know, we've taken the ideas from them. We show them, you know, always these big winged creatures and that stuff. Well, the Bible does. There are certain types of angels that have winged creatures, but majority of the time, when angels appeared to people, they looked like men, and people usually didn't even know that they were an angel. They thought it was a man. They thought it was another person. In fact, in Hebrews 13:2 says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. So angels can manifest. And you think they're just a person. You could be walking around here in the earth. There's people out here that you pass or by, you might think could be an angel. See, we don't think about those things. We don't read the Bible and those things. They're just a scripture that's there. There's just much more important stuff to be listening to. And we don't pay attention to a lot of things about them. And so We need to be careful, especially, is looking at Scripture. What does Scripture say? Because there's a lot of off-the-wall stuff about angels today. The Bible tells us specifically you don't worship angels. Would you worship, if you had a butler in your home, would you worship him? No. Well, see, but the church will. The church would do it. The angels are to minister for us, and people will worship angels. I mean, just the fact that Paul had to write and say, you guys ain't supposed to be doing that. And we don't think, we put them on a level. Number one, we put angels on the human level, and they are not. The human is actually spiritually on a higher level than angels are. The Apostle Paul asked Church of Corinth this question. He said, don't you know that you're going to judge angels? Well, some of the church don't know that. And they even wrote it down for them, and they still don't know it. Nobody pays no attention to what the Bible says. So we look at angels as this beings that are above us, you know, and then, you know, you have the shows, you know, that they're, what was that, the Christmas movie that I have every year, you know, It's a Wonderful Life, you know, and you're going to get your wings one. When you die, then you do good things and you get your wings. Equating the human to being an angel. All the time I see that when a person dies and they talk about a person and they're like they're an angel up there. Humans ain't angels nowhere. If you got to be an angel, you were demoted. It's absolutely stupid. But see, people make all this stuff up. They make all these... There's so much of things called Christianity, and that's why, really, we have a different Jesus, we have a different gospel, and people think that they're going to get to heaven believing in these gospels. They think they're going to go there, believing in this junk. Because they got a different Jesus, they got a whole different kingdom, how it operates, and they think because they believe it, you're going to end up there. Well, if it ain't the truth, you ain't going to end up there. It's just that simple. It doesn't matter what I believe if it's not in line with God's word, and that's why it's so important about it. Because it's so easy to get deceived. Easy. I mean, you think about Lucifer. Lucifer was an angel. Now, you think about Lucifer today? Lucifer is on a lesser level than the human. That's why he hates us so much. He hates us. Because he thought he was the big boy. And he hates humanity because humanity is on a higher level than he is. Lucifer he's nothing like God. He doesn't know everything. Satan's kingdom and his angels and they don't know everything the human does. The devil does not know everything I'm thinking. The devil only knows what you think is when you open your blab mouth saying what you think. That's the only time he knows. When he knows when you say something stupid, yeah, okay, now we know. We're knowing where they're coming from. But he isn't like God. He's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. God knows everything. He's an angel. He's limited. He doesn't know what everybody thinks. We got to get, you know, and this is what people, you know, in the fear that they have about things, they have because they don't read the Bible and not reading the Bible or have the doctrines that the Bible teach, then people get off over into things and belief. You know, we really do put Lucifer really up in a God category. That's the church has. The church has put him in a God category. We've exalted him way above measure. Way above measure. He's a defeated foe and people are always trying to defeat him. People are always trying to overcome him. Preachers are always preaching how to overcome him. You don't have to overcome. Jesus already overcame him. He's already been overcome. And through faith in Christ Jesus, you know, we're not trying to beat the devil. The devil has already been beat. And we have authority over him. And is understand that we need to get ourselves in the areas of believing. Now it says about heirs of salvation. Is number one, we have to be well. If these angels are ministering spirits for the heirs of salvation, well, let's make sure and know scripturally who the heirs of salvation are. So you know. So who are they ministers for? Well, Romans 8, verse 16, starting there, it says. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Now, he's bearing witness with us that we are children of God. That's what the Holy Spirit in you. He's bearing witness. You know, when a Christian, and then people do this, they get to be Christians, but they get off walking in the flesh, paying attention to what's in the natural, not paying attention to what's going on. And after a while, they'll, well, I wonder if I'm even saved or not. They'll start wondering, why, the devil will take you over there. You will live in your mind area. Well, it says the Holy Spirit, he's inside of there bearing witness with you that you're a child of God. See, this is why you want to stay in contact on the inside. The witness of the Spirit. You know, I know that I'm a child of God. How do you know that? The Bible says so, but I also have more than just the say-so of the Bible. I have the witness of the Spirit in me that that's true. Amen. See, a lot of people today say, well, just the Bible said it. But I want to tell you, you need more than just the Bible said it. You have to have a knowing within you. If you ain't got a knowing within you, you don't have faith. That knowing, that faith you have inside you, that the witness, the Spirit is bearing witness of the Word in you, that yes, you are a child of God, of what you believe. See, it's what you believe in your heart, Jesus said, that you say will come to pass. It's what's inside your heart. And think of us, we as believers, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Now, he says this in verse 17. He says, and if children, what? Then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, what does he say? We're heirs of God and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So, we're heirs, aren't we? And who are those ministering spirits for? Who are they sent for? To minister for who? The heirs of salvation. And here it says, the Holy Spirit's bearing witness with us. We're children of God. We're heirs of God. That's what he's bearing. We're heirs together with Jesus Christ. In other words, what Jesus got, we got. If we don't have what Jesus has, we're not heirs together with him, are we? No. See, if somebody died and had a go out here and they'd have a will, and in that will they'd give something, this to one kid and this to another kid and this to another kid, and they would do that. You couldn't say they were heirs together because they didn't all get the same thing. They aren't the same in heirship, whatever that is. You'd all have the same thing. We got the same thing. We got through Jesus Christ, we have been seated in heavenly places. Now, this is important. Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father on a throne. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. And he delegated all authority in the earth to the church. And the church keeps trying to get Jesus to do stuff. Yeah. The church is always trying to get Jesus to do stuff. Jesus said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth, heaven binds. Whatever you loose, heaven looses. Now listen to that. Do you see what he says? Whose authority is that working off of? Is it working off of Jesus' authority? No. Jesus gave authority. We need to understand about this. Don't ever believe the lie that people tell you and say, well, God will never, he gives you something, he'll never allow you want, you can't allow to misuse it. Jesus gives you something, you can misuse it and abuse it, and he'll let you go ahead and do it till it kills you. When God spoke to Adam in the garden and said to him, now look, I'm giving you authority over the works of my hands. Everything that I got here, I'm giving it to you over all the animals and everything. You're in charge, boy. What happened when Adam yielded his authority to Satan? Did God say, oh, no, you're not allowed to do that? Uh-uh. No, he didn't. When God gave him authority, it was his authority. See, if you gave somebody, say, look, I'm going to give you a gift, and you gave him a gift, and if they used it in a way, they said, well, no, I don't want you using it like that. You never gave the gift. You didn't give it. It isn't theirs. You're still holding that gift. God does not do that. What God gives to you, he puts in your hands, whether you use it right or not. But it's yours. This is the wonderful thing about the Word. God's given us all this thing. He put the Holy Spirit in us to teach us how to walk in this thing and how to use this stuff. He's taught us these things. So we have authority. And that authority we have as believers, we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That is a phenomenal thing. I mean, just meditate on that a while, that you're factually a joint heir. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're sitting on the same throne with authority as Jesus Christ himself. Now, you know what? See, you have to believe that by faith, because your mind will go tilt. Your mind will just like, you try to actually think about that in your mind and try to figure it out. You're going to do better than I ever did. And I know probably loads of other people ever did. It is not something that you try to figure out mentally. You got to learn this with the Word of God. If you want Word of God to work, you got to learn to believe it, say it's true. Whether I could understand it or not, it matters not. It's true. Because the Holy Spirit can't reveal things to us if we keep... We want it to understand mentally before we'll receive it as true. That's not the way things work. It takes no faith to do that. You prove it to my senses first, then I'll believe it. This is what we do. We're so mental. I mean, here in the United States, we are mental. We're mentally ill. We're a messed up bunch of people. And is the more that I understand things, I've said before about this. I'm watching these shows about how the brain works, and it's really amazing because you find out all these things that they're telling you is all the things they ever told us how the brain works. It doesn't work that way at all. But it's one thing it showed me: the brain is absolutely a fascinating thing of how God designed things to work. It is amazing, but when we sit and look at it, I realize there's no way that man can live by his brain. He needs his spirit because his brain was designed limited. It was designed that way. It was designed limited on what it does and how it sees things and figures things. And it's limited. And, I'm sure it'll get to the things when it say we don't use 10% of our brain. They'll probably find out none of that's been true. It's people say those things, but actually how it works when it comes down, man was designed to be dominated by his inner man, his spirit, and his brain was supposed to get revelation from his inner man. See, we have the brain out here trying today, even in the church world, doing all the functioning. And the inner man, where there's God at and God is revealing things, is hidden away. And so God's wisdom don't get out. God's wisdom is not picked up. We aren't getting revelation. And this is one of the things, is why you want to become a spiritual being where you're listening on the inside, is seeing yourself. That, this outer man that you have, we have pampered it way too much. We have dealt with it. It's like it is so wonderful. And this wonderful thing has been such a downfall to us. This thing has to, because our time spent... This thing would be in much better in line of what we would want it to be and do if we could listen to the inner man. Because the life is on the inside. Wisdom of God comes from the inside. It don't come from the outside. There's wisdom from an unseen realm that really is the guidance of this realm. And if we don't bring that wisdom in, this realm cannot last. It cannot, and it won't last, because man will destroy it. I don't care what they say. They can do all the things. They can shut every car off tomorrow. They can stop anything that produces anything that they consider a pollutant. And you know what? This world is going down the tubes. It has to, because man is the destruction of it by how he lives and what he does. Sin itself, man in his sin, will bring destruction. Satan is allowed to destroy this earth because of the sin of man. He's allowed to. He has the right to. He has the right to do things because man has said it's okay. Man says it's all right. Man's going to reap what he sows. And that's why it's so important that we let the realm of the Spirit dominate. So, for yourself, is one of the things that I learned. If I'm going to do anything for people or help people, I must personally learn how to be led by my spirit and listen to my inner man, rather than just listening to the outer man and what the outer man does. It doesn't matter how smart somebody seems on the outside, if it's not coming from the inside, it's not from God. God doesn't come along and reveal himself to you through your mind. He doesn't do that. He reveals himself through your spirit. And you're supposed to hear your own spirit and listen to your own spirit. And revelation will come and dawn on your mind from your inner man. So it depends what you're going to listen to. Make sure you're listening to the right thing. In Titus, the apostle Paul wrote here, in Titus the third chapter, I'm going to read a number of scriptures here entering into this, but Paul wrote to Titus in the third chapter. In verse 4, he said, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by the works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." He said, "Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." You see, through the new birth, we became heirs. That's what happened. Do you know, it's just like an heir. Somebody has an heir. An heir of someone is somebody by, you know, especially by birth. Someone is born into the family who is an heir in that family. There is, you can't become an heir of God in any other way than to be born into the kingdom. You must be born again. You have to be. Jesus said nobody can enter the kingdom unless they're born again. You can't. You cannot become an heir of God. No one will be in the kingdom of God who is not born again. People must be born again, and that's what you want. They must pass from spiritual death to spiritual life. And so that's the importance of us, and this is what Paul's talking about here. And do that, when you got born again, you became an heir of God. Therefore, that angels became ministering spirits or servants for you, to help you. They're at your disposal. See, we look at them just as at God's disposal, although God does use angels and he sends angels for things, but us also, our angels serve us, and so we want to walk in line with that. I'm going to read some other scriptures. Here's James 2:5 says, "Listen, my brethren," he said, "has God not chosen the poor of the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom?" So again, whoever God has chosen, in other words, the ones born again, nobody comes to the Son except the Father draw them. See, it's important. See, we have this idea, you know, I've heard people give testimonies and talk about, say, well, you know, they began to see, I'm seeking God. I want to tell you this, no man has ever sought God unless God drew them. It has never happened. You don't decide one day you want to walk with God. God had to start drawing you. God had to. There's a reason. See, man has authority. I have authority to ask God to draw someone. I have authority to do that. If I ask God, if I ask anything in his name, Jesus said he'd do it for me. See, lots of times here we're praying for people, but we're never asking God to draw the individual. We never ask God to draw them. You know, we thought those verses were just cute in there. They were just really nice. See, it's about it. See, we don't think about our authority in the earth. God's waiting for us. Mm-hmm. We're sitting around waiting for God. You've never been waiting for God. You've just been sitting around. That's what we've been doing. Come on. You know, you might as well smile and say amen, because we have this religion has put us in this thing. Everything is God. You know, he's doing this and doing that. No, he told us with the authority that we have here. We you know, is if you go to the church world, especially people who believe in angels and demons and stuff, they believe in these things. Now, in believing in them, that is good, but what they do, if people don't understand about things. We believe, especially like, you know, all the devil, and this person's influenced by the devil. You'll hear, how many Christians you ever hear say, you know, that person's really influenced by God? You know, I'll tell you what. No, they don't. They don't. Oh, never. Never, because we're more on the negative side the majority of the time, but yet, you understand this, angels influence people. Unless we don't ever tell them to do anything. And see, I've learned, you pray and you ask and you pray and you speak and you tell angels to go and start influencing. You know, most people pray, it's like even for our government, they pray in a negative way about our government. You know, we can bind the devil. But what do you do? Like with me, I always loose angels to go and bring their influence. I believe angels can have a greater influence than demons. Because the Bible tells us there's 2/3 more angels than there are demons. So angels should have a greater influence. And the reason they don't is because the church never uses them. See, no matter how big God's kingdom is, in the earth, his kingdom doesn't work any more than we let it work, whatever we allow it to. And we have allowed the devil to run rampant. We allow him to just do. The church, Just think, the church holds sway to two-thirds of the spirit beings in the spirit realm, and we almost never use them. Think about that. It's amazing. And we're always praying, asking, God, why don't you do something? And he's there, why don't you do something? But we weren't taught to hear that. We thought that was the devil talking. But we can ask them. We can send these out. They'll influence people. Will they influence people? Yeah, they sure will. They'll influence people. Don't you want to be influenced by angels? Instead of, the devil's always around hindering me. Yeah, the devil's always doing something to me. The devil's out. Hey, I would, you know, there's more angels around me than devils. But see, if you come in contact with that, you come in with your, in your mind that that is true. Whether I see them or not, it matters not. They're here. People will believe there's devils around. They can't believe God's around, the angels around. They have a hard time. They go to praying and they act like God's out there somewhere so far distance away. You got to wonder, you know, maybe I got to pray 5 hours for him to hear me. Well, if you got to pray 5 hours before him to hear you, forget it. Don't even bother. If I pray 5 hours, he hears me for 5 hours. I'm not trying to get God to hear me. I'm not trying to do that. And so we want to live, we want to get ourselves into right thinking. You know, even in Peter, and he's writing in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, Peter wrote about the husband and wife, and he said in verse 7, husbands, he said, likewise dwell with them, speaking to the wife, in understanding. He says, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. And he said, and as being heirs together, what? Of the grace of life. He said that your prayers may not be hindered. You're heirs together. We're heirs together. The born-again believers, we're all heirs. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7. So, and I want to read to you too in Psalms, because there's a scripture in Psalms concerning angels, and it says, we could go over those loads of scriptures we could go over with this, but in Psalms 103 and verse 20, 103 and verse 20 says this, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Now listen to that. He said, bless the Lord, you his angels. What does it say? Who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. That says, bless the Lord, all you, his host. He's talking about his host. That's angels. You ministers of his who do his pleasure. Now you see, he says here, speaking about the word. Now it talks about following out his pleasure. Well, what's his pleasure? It's what his word says. Now, when we think about this, say, oh yeah, yeah, he'll follow God, what God says. That isn't what he's saying here. He's saying, who do his word, and it says, heeding to the voice of his word. Do you put voice of his word, or what's your voice saying? Angels are moved by what we say. Angels are not going to ever do for you if it ain't rhyme with the word of God. They ain't going to do nothing for you. They are moved by his word. You must put voice to the word. See, we talk about faith. We think, you know, lots of times our thinking is this, you know, I'm believing God for something and then God personally does this. People have this idea that God personally goes, does this. And many times God, what brings the things to pass are angels. Angels carry the thing out. They are moved at the word of God. They're designed for that purpose. They're designed. When we stand on the word of God, when we do what the word says, it's like the Lord Jesus told Kenneth E. Hagin. He said, he told him about how bringing money in. And when he said to them, he told them how to pray, what to confess and say. And he says, now tell your angels to go and bring that money in. And Kenneth Hagin at that time had never heard it. He said, I never heard anything said like that before. Nobody ever said anything of that. And so the Lord took him to Hebrews there, to the scriptures. And he said to him, he said, he told him, he said, there are ministers for the heirs of salvation. He didn't say they were, the Lord Jesus told him, he said, I didn't say they were supposed to minister to you, they're supposed to minister for you. He said, you need to send them out. They're not going to do anything until you send them out. You do it. Why? Because we have authority in the earth. We're the heirs here. Jesus said when he left, all authority in heaven and earth is given to you. Well, if it's given to me, what do I keep trying to get him to do all this stuff for? See, we don't use the word and command it. And you know what? Angels will follow out his word. It's like the guy who saw those angels in the South Mountain. He said, why are they just sitting there? He said, because the church ain't using me. I have nothing to do. Nobody's saying anything. They're complaining. They go have a prayer life of complaint to God about what the problem is. Always talking to God about what's wrong. They're never telling what the word says. They're not, well, I'll tell you, I believe in God's going to move. Well, you know, I'll tell you, the way it is today, I don't know if God can. I'll tell you, it's just so bad out here. Things are just so messed up. And that, and the angels are going, well, this is really good. Does anybody hear anything that I could do? But lots of times, angels have been at work doing things. We prayed, we believed God, we stood, we confessed, and angels are working to bring those things to pass. As we go on to these things, we'll look, because you go over in, as you go into the Old Testament, you find the Old Testament's wonderful because it gives us pictures of angels doing things for people. It shows what they do. And we get a lot of pictures of what angels are doing out there. Angels and things are real. They're servants. I mean, we think about it. They're servants. They're there to help us. That's what they're there for. They're there to help us. Is getting that idea. Would God give everybody what he called, what they call a guardian angel? Would God do that and then have planned on it that's not going to really do, it's going to hang around you? I mean, isn't that stupid? He's hanging around you. Well, he's hanging around me for what? He's around to help you. Well, you need to start talking. You need to speaking like God has plans on protecting you. You know, it's very interesting. I remember, you know, reading, just like with things that happen, and angels do. Now, sometimes people don't even realize that angels have done it, but angels did it. I remember years ago when there in Europe we had that plane crash where two 747s collided years ago, back in the 60s, two 747s. One was taken off the runway and one was coming in. They nailed each other. And they're both filled with passengers. And the one plane that they were on, the guy was on it, he gave his story. He lived through it. He was a Christian man. And the guy beside him in his seat was a Christian too. When the two planes hit, he said when he hit and our plane came to a stop, he said, I looked up to the front of the plane. He said, he was back by the wings, where the wings are. He said, I looked down the front. He said, all I could see is a ball of fires coming through the fuselage. And he said, all I said was the name of Jesus. He said, up above me, there was the other plane had hit and tore the top off the plane. Now, I don't know if any of you was ever in a 747. 747s are really high in the cabin. Like, you can't jump up and touch the ceiling in the center of the plane. It's high. It's really high. And he said, he looked down through and he saw it coming and he just said the name of Jesus and he said, all of a sudden, he said, my top half of my body's out this hole. And he said, I pushed myself off the rest of the, slid off the fuselage down on the wing and walked off the end of the wing and stepped down the ground and walked away. He said, the guy beside me was a Christian. He died. But see, this guy, he did something. He called the name of Jesus. See, this is one why you ain't going to get religious on the day of tragedy and make something happen. You either get religious beforehand and learn how to do the things to get delivered that day. This is what happens all the time to people. They are too late to call on the name of the Lord. Most people are too late. You know, they're going to get right with God one day. Yeah. And never get right with God. Never happens. Because when tragedy comes, they've never gotten right. They haven't got things that could save their life. See, you want to get over there. I don't wander. One time we were out at the Youth for Christ there. We were out the building there, and Wanda came to church one day, and I said it had been snowing, and she came down around the curve, right up from the Youth for Christ, and she's slid off the road and went down into the field. And she said, she just said, Jesus. And she said, she told me, she said, I don't know what happened. She said, next thing I knew, I'm on the road driving. She said, I don't know what happened. She said, I was off the road going down in the field. And she said, I just said, Jesus. And she said, I was on the road. So I went up to where it was after the service. I went up to where she ran off the road, and the wheel tracks were right down off the road. Now, there's one thing you cannot do. You cannot back a car out in line of the wheels which you went into a place. It's an impossibility. You can't do it. It's impossible. You can't do it. And there was a set of wheel tracks going in, but nothing backing out. So, you say, how did that happen? I don't know. But I know this. It was supernatural. It was something supernatural happened. Yeah, it was my car. My angel was on the hood. But, you know, it's one of those. But see, one thing. What is it when something happens? What's on your mind? What's your thought? What have you built yourself to? Have you put yourself there to put your angels to work? Or are you first going to talk about every bad thing that happened? Oh, well, what are we going to do? Oh, now this happened to me and that stuff. And go and say 49,000 bad things and then stop and say, let's pray. And watch the devil laugh for a half an hour. See, what you do and say, and this is one of the big things that I've learned, and I tell you, and this is a good thing you need to learn to pick up. When something's going wrong, learn to keep your big mouth shut. Most people don't. That's the time they don't keep their big mouth shut. And they paint themselves into a corner they can't get out of. You don't want to. It's one of the things I learned. I get quiet. Man, I'm going to say something. It's time of a problem, man. I want to say the right thing. I want to say the right thing. Because if you don't, I don't care how big your angel is. He ain't doing nothing. No matter how big he moves at the word of God. He doesn't move just because you have a voice. Your voice needs to be in line with God's voice. Now, I've seen things like that, and I've heard like wonderful stories of time and times again, people in danger, things that they did. It's amazing. I mean, the miracles, the things that happen to people, it's absolutely astounding, the things that happen. And that's why those things are so, so important that we understand it. These angels are out here by God. Like we say, well, God picked the car up. No, he didn't. An angel did. That's how it works. Just like here, you know, person gets stuck, they call a, you know, the wrecker to come out and pick your car up. Somebody comes out and pulls it out for you and hauls it off for you. God's not out there doing each thing. He has angels. They do. That's the way his kingdom operates and works. And, you know, it's like, and don't pay attention to what's going on, because there is times like, I think there are times, there's times that I had seen angels. But there's times that I get a sense that an angel's doing a certain thing. I'll get a sense of certain things. I know at times that an angel has talked to me. God had sent an angel to say something to me. I didn't see the angel. But sometimes people do. You know, well, that's one of the things Kenneth Hagin, in one of the times that Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin, there was an angel that appeared with him. And Kenneth Hagin said him and Jesus were talking, and he said, every time I looked at this angel, it was as if this angel wanted to say something. But he said, I looked back because Jesus and I were talking, and finally I said, what does he want? What's he here? And Jesus said, he has a message from you for the Father. He was sent from the throne of God to give you a message. And he said to Jesus, well, why couldn't you just tell me? And Jesus said, he was sent from the Father to give you a message. You know, your religion can message you up a lot. Your religious ideas mess you up a lot. See, this is why religion has its ideas. They're not Bible. They're not the way Bible is. You look in the Bible, we find where God sent angels specifically to tell people things. See, well, why didn't Holy Spirit and you say something? It's because that's the way God decided to work. You can sit around and play your games and try to figure out why something works like it does, or just let God do his thing and get blessed. Many people don't get blessed because we get in. We're always so questioning God and his wisdom and what he wants to do. And our religious ideas of how things work religious ideas that it works this way or it works that way. You know, why does God do that? Why does God send an angel? They have the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, I found this out one time, and I believe it's absolutely true. Lots of times for people, the reason things happen so supernaturally that you get a visitation or something like that happens is because you're so messed up. And don't be surprised. Because you won't listen on the inside. Somebody's been praying for you, for God to do something. To get something across to you. And see, I'm serious. I'm absolutely serious about that. Lots of times God has to move in supernatural ways because people won't listen. He won't keep doing that. But there's times that He does. Now there's things that I've always had a confession, and I've always done this. If I get out of the will of God on something, I've always said God will send whatever He needs to. He'll speak to me and tell me if He needs to send an angel, if Jesus Himself has to come and appear, or He has to send somebody from the other side of the earth to come and talk to me and tell me. God will do whatever it is that requires. See, you got to get over and get into faith what God will do for you. What God will do. See, most people, they haven't yielded themselves over to the area where they would allow anything like that. I don't want somebody telling me what to do. When you need somebody coming telling you what to do. But, you know, whatever God has to do. And dealing over the areas of the supernatural. The supernatural works. There's sometimes with things. You need to understand this about the supernatural. I found this out myself. God would come and has done a number of things in a very supernatural way for me sometimes. But I found this out because you go start walking and do His will. If you haven't heard Him supernaturally about this and it hasn't been so, you won't do it. You'll quit. Because when pressure comes, you won't do it. You know, the average minister, is like 4 out of 5 of ministers. Will leave the ministry within like 4 to 5 years. And the reason they do is, number one, is because they get themselves over. You know, Kenneth Hagin said, well, there's too many of them going in the ministry because they have the call. It's number one, God has dealt with me supernaturally concerning being in the ministry. And man, I've had wonderful opportunities to leave the ministry. But the only reason I stay, I know what He called me to do. I know. And if you don't know that, I'll guarantee you, the devil will get you to go do something else. He does all the time with people. Kenneth Hagin, I learned from him. He said, you don't go in the ministry. And he said, you need to know you heard from God, not just because you had an inward witness. He said, you don't go into ministry on an inward witness. He said, you'll quit. Because God will speak to you. God will talk to you. He'll do things. And He's done things to me in supernatural ways where He spoke to me over the years. There's supernatural encounters that I've had. And I look at them, it isn't because I am such a genius. That isn't why I had the encounter. I had the encounter because what God was going to ask me to do was going to require me to stay stuck to do it. Now, He won't do that for every little thing you're going to go through. But, especially in the areas of ministry, because if anything people want to stop and the devil wants to put a halt to, and his followers want to put a halt to, is the ministry. They don't want people doing that. And that's why sometimes if you look at people, at some of the difficulties and things that they went through is because of their call to the ministry and that God dealt with them. And the devil just wants to bring it to a stop. He wants to halt that thing. He was going to fight to get that thing done. You have to know is what God is told you to do. That's why it's number one is I learned not to be so quick to just do something. Just because God tells you or calls you to something, you get yourself settled that you're going to head in that direction. You're going to do it. You got to know that you know. And you got to come to the place that's God. You got to come to the place that you can look at anybody around you, wife or husband, and say, look, this is what God said. This is what God said. And I'm going to go do what God said. You got to come to that place. Because I tell you, if anybody means a whole lot in your life more than God, you'll quit. And the devil will see to it that that person gets you to quit. The devil will send you people to get you to quit. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. People always try to talk you out of something and that stuff, following God. That's why you want to get it settled within yourself. You want to do that. And God does it in supernatural ways. God does things. He operates in those manners. I never once ever sat down and believed that God would, you know, specifically a certain thing that, well, I want to see an angel. I want to see. I've never desired to do that. You need to be very careful in doing any things like that. Of getting around, because Satan can manifest things. Satan can manifest things. The actually that you see something is, number one, if I see or hear anything, I judge it by the Word of God. You judge it by the Word of God. Because if people can people see things all the time. People hear things and see things all the time. I'll tell you one, and a lot of people don't hear and see things. I'll tell you, I've never heard so many flakes here lately on so-called prophets prophesying about America and things going on and stuff. Too much fake stuff, dreams and all this kind of stuff, and it ain't real nor true. Some of these ministers on TV, I wish they'd stop this stuff of bringing these prophets on. And this stuff is a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. And these people turn around saying things, and I hear them say things, I think, did anybody listen to what that guy just said? That can't be so. You know, it's like one thing, he said, God told him in a dream that Trump was going to be the next president. His next statement was, in June, if Trump don't make a certain right decision, that could change it. Well, I said, well, how could God have said that? How could God have told him? God didn't know what decision he's going to make in June. And then the nincompoop said, well, and this guy's on this guy's show all the time. He said, this nincompoop says, in May, this coronavirus thing's going to be over. Gee, is he a false prophet? Yes, he is a false prophet. He might have had a dream, but I can tell you what it was. It was pizza, maybe. It was. He had a pizza. He was watching, you know, some show on television, fell asleep with pizza in his mouth. He had a dream. I don't think he didn't have a dream, but the devil will give you a dream. You know, it just. And don't ever get over this thing if you have dreams, going and asking somebody what the dream means. Don't go to these people, they're so called prophets. Prophets don't tell people their dreams. You got the Holy Ghost in you. If you had a dream from God and He didn't tell you what it was, it wasn't God. I never, any dream or vision, I never had to go run around and ask anybody what it was. I knew what it was. You know, everybody has those crazy, weird dreams. You have weird, you get those weird dreams, that kind of stuff. And you know, when I wake up, I know that was a weird dream, man. That's what it was. I don't say, let's go find out what that meant. Christians buying books to how to interpret dreams. I mean, they ought to buy a book on how to interpret the Bible. Dear Lord, they can't even interpret the Bible and they're asking about interpreting dreams. Well, they say Joseph interpreted dreams. Yes, people were in the Old Testament didn't have the Spirit within them. We're in the New Testament. You're not supposed to be chasing people around. You're supposed to hear God for yourself. If God determines to have somebody tell you something, that's fine. But you don't go looking for people to tell you things. Say, do you have a word for me? Yes. Get out of my face. Leave me alone. Kenneth Hagin talked about one night, he was staying somewhere, he was in a hotel, and he got a call in the middle of the night, and they said it was an emergency call, and he said, take it. And this woman on the other end, I mean, here's a Christian, on the other end, she said, well, she said, this actually was an emergency. She said, but I wanted to know if you had a word for me from the Lord. Now, she'd actually lie. Now, think about that. A Christian, you know, would actually lie. Do you have a word for me? Oh, man. I'd have to say, keep my mouth shut. I know I'd need to repent. You know what you want to say to the idiot. Do you have a word for me? Yes, I do. Okay. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. See, we need to get over here. This is one of the things that's just so important, though, today as we get in line with the Word of God. It is just so important. Sit down. You know, when you read the Bible, read it like you don't know it. That doesn't mean you don't know it, but read it like you don't know it. Read it with, you know, really, that's a humble mind, is to sit down. When you start looking at the Bible as if you know, you're just going to read over things that's in your mind, and you're going to think it's saying what you say, and it didn't, and what you believe, and it don't. See, I found out that that's true. That happens. God dealt with me on that. When I sat down and started reading some things, I thought, Lord, people say such and such. And I said, man, all the big name ministers say it. But it isn't scripturally right. Because everybody just passed it on down the line. And when you read, I thought, I used to read that and I thought that's what it said too, but it don't say that. It's just like this here, this, you know, in Hebrews, ministering for the heirs of salvation. 90% of people, ministers that will preach that will say minister to the heirs of salvation. That's what most of them will say. It don't say that, but they'll say that. But that changes the whole gist of the subject. Changes everything. See, God's going to have them minister to you. Say, no, He's going to minister for you. You know why? Because you need help. They're going to minister for you. You can't do it by yourself. You can't make it up. They're here to help you. You find out what the Word of God says, and they will help bring the Word of God to pass for you. They will go influence. See, when you ask them to go influence, you know, somebody about money, don't pick a certain person. Say, huh? You know, go out here and influence. No, you just tell them to go. They'll know what to do. See, we don't know the hearts of everyone. And you know, just a little story here in closing. There was a guy who was I worked with him at H.B. Reese Candy Company. And on his own, sat down, he became a pilot. He took pilot's license tests and stuff. And he went on, he single engine, he went to multi engine, and then he went to things that taken jets. And he became a pilot for jets. And Hershey Corporation, they hired him to, he was flying their jets and delivering people around. But he got religious and stupid. He got over into things that, well, he didn't like because these guys and that stuff, they drank on the plane. Well, none of his business. He's the pilot. He's supposed to fly. Whether a guy drinks or not, ain't none of my business. That's up to them. It's their plane. You know, because, you know, you go out here and get a job at a place. You can't, you know, I hear people say, I want a job at a Christian, you know, place. Well, that don't mean they're going to be decent people because they're Christians. I don't, you know, get a life. But anyhow, so he kept messing around with them. But anyhow, he started running around telling people that Bill Gates was going to give him $1 million and for a plane, and he was going to be able to buy his own plane, and then about all this, he's going around. But God told him Bill Gates was going to give him the plane, got to give him $1 million. And he was going around. Well, he ended up for years and years and years in saying this, and as life went along, he ended up losing jobs, and he ended up because he became a nut. God said Bill Gates was going to give him the money. And I sat down and talked to him one day because he ended up, his wife left him because she got tired of his nuttiness, and, you know, she wasn't living a very good life with him. He wasn't taking care of things and stuff. He wasn't keeping up with the job and money because every place he went to, he was a pain in the rear end. And things just weren't working out. And I sat down and talked with him about the things, and I said, I said, you've run around, and I said, you've told everybody. You go around and tell us, God told Bill Gates to give you $1 million. I said, has Bill Gates done it? I said, I'm just going to tell you straight out. Bill Gates ain't ever given you $1 million. I said, if God told you, I said, well, because he came up then, he said that Bill Gates, after a while, rebelled and wouldn't do what God said. And I told him, I said, if God came and told you that Bill Gates was going to give you $1 million, and Bill Gates didn't do it, I said, then God's a liar. I said, you came along and you got this thing and you know it ain't working. And I said, instead of stopping and saying, you know, I messed up, now you put it over, well, now you're making an excuse why it didn't happen. And you're putting it over on Bill Gates. And I said, what you don't realize you did, you put this thing over on God, that God's a liar. I said, if God told you he was going to give you, I said, do you think God would know he wasn't going to give it to you? But tell you he would? I said, your wife left you because you're a nut. Your wife left. I said, everything's falling apart because I said, you're a nut. I said, you don't even listen to the words that you say out of your mouth. I said, you can't. Well, Bill Gates didn't do it. God told him to, but then Bill Gates wouldn't do it. Well, why would God have ever told you he was going to if he wasn't? God wouldn't have known he wasn't going to do it. I mean, give me a break. But see, people walk around and do things like this. This kind of stuff. Christians run around and do things. I never worry about anything of where it's going to come from. I don't pay any attention about that. If I need something, I believe God. Let him fulfill it. Let him carry it out with whom he wants. When you start looking at certain people that ought to do stuff, 10 to 1, it'll never happen. Most of the time, it will never happen. That individual. You know, we look at God, you know, this is one thing I learned. I was in sales for a number of years. There's one thing I learned in sales. The people who have really have money usually don't look like the guy that has the money. And the people you think are rich are usually in debt rich. Oh, loads of them. I was in sales and found that out. Oh, you know, we get guys, they want work done in their house and it costs, you know, $60,000-$70,000, and you'd find out this, that they're sitting there and they're driving Mercedes and they're doing all this kind of stuff and they can't get $10 from a bank because everything they got, they're making payments on and they're behind on them. That their house payment, they haven't made anything. They've been paying nothing but interest. They haven't made one payment on the loan itself. Nothing has gone on. Find people do that stuff all the time. Had a guy one time, he did all the stuff he wanted to do to his house, and he lived in a pretty shabby place. And it was this old guy. And I was going over stuff with him and all that kind of stuff. And well, we went over the things in a bank and about his bank and saying about money and where he'd get his money from, because you want to check and find out. You don't start doing work and ain't no point in signing papers and doing everything. The person can't get the money. No, he's still going through all the work. And so I give his bank a call. Now here's a guy, and I'm thinking, because you see people, you think, well, you look at this guy. And the banker says, that man can have anything he wants. He said he got the money to have anything he wants to have. And they were right. He had the money to do anything he wanted to do. But he wasn't living out there. Like it's. But you went over and you went over to one of these developments and these people are living in big houses over there and that stuff. And they're just breathing from day to day. I mean, they're just. And people all think, who has the money? You know, he didn't have money on. You know, a lot of people today have money, and it's on paper. It's through investments and stuff, and that's money on paper. Till you cash it out and have that money in your hand, that thing ain't worth nothing. Tomorrow, the stock market goes crash. Most everybody's all their savings goes down the drain. Why does it go? It's all on paper. It's not physical collateral. It's on paper. That's all it was. Remember Sam Walton talking about that back in 1987, there was a stock market crash there a little bit. They had one, and they said he lost $13 million in one day. He said, I never lost $13 million in one day. He said, that's all on paper. He had enough sense to know. People don't know today. It ain't cash. What you see in your 401k, it ain't cash. What you see on that thing is saying what they say it's worth. To weigh stocks and everything else. It goes crash tomorrow and that company that's handling that thing for you, and then it's worth 75 cents in cash. See, we got all this weird stuff in our minds about that. Well, I'll tell you, God can take care of you. God can get you the cash. Hallelujah. See, that's why you want faith. There ain't nothing matter. I ain't trying to tell people you don't try and save and do stuff like that. Not saying that. But see, if that's where you're at in your hopes and dreams, I'll tell you what, you ain't going to have some hopes and dreams probably. Things ain't going to work out well. You know? You look at all the money our government owes. Man, we need God. I need God. I can't count on the government. They owe more than they can pay. All that stuff, this money we got, it ain't nothing but paper. You need God. Hallelujah. Like Randy Greer said, he said, God can send you a hound dog with a brown paper bag full of money. And he's right. See, we don't want to limit things. And that's why faith is such an important thing, and understanding how the kingdom works. Because in this earth, things are uncertain. But you don't want to live that way. You don't want to live in any kinds of fear or worried about, well, what happens if the stock market goes tomorrow? God changes not. That's what happens. That tomorrow God's the same, and He is required by His word to supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And if He don't, He's a liar. He's never going to be a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. If anybody's going to lie on the deal, it would be me. It could never be God. It would be impossible for Him to lie. And so you get over that. That's why you can smile when you see what's going on. You look at the news and the things that are happening. You can smile because, man, we got the best headlines in the world. They're in this book. And see, you keep these things. God has made a way to take care of us. He's put all these angels. He's got billions and billions of angels in this earth to do stuff. Hallelujah. And they're working for us. And everybody's running around, well, you know, I ain't in charge of nothing. Well, most of the church lives like they ain't in charge of nothing. Hallelujah. You got employees you need to take care of. Now let's get... You need ones that want... No, just think about it. These angels want to do stuff for us. They want to. They're not around. You're not trying to force them. They delight in doing the Word of God. They delight in it. They're excited when we step out on the Word of God and they have an opportunity to fulfill God's Word. That's what excites them, is to do the Word of God. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us wisdom and understanding in these areas. Thank you for enlightening us, Lord God, to see, Lord God, what cannot be seen with the eye, to understand what cannot be understood with the human mind. Lord God, but it's real, and we can walk in it and live in that place. And Lord God, those things of the Spirit, oh Lord God, I thank you. You've designed the system that we can make things from that realm manifest into this realm. Hallelujah. That we can change things in this realm. Because Lord God, our realm that we live in, we walk in, we see, touch, taste, and smell, it was created from that realm. And Lord God, I want to thank you that that realm can change things, and you've given us the authority to do it and given us your angels to help us carry it out. So we thank you. Thank you tonight, Lord. Continue to give us wisdom and revelation in these areas, Lord God, so we can fulfill your will, your plans, and your purposes in the earth, because we desire that man be blessed. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.